and welcome to our morning service at Cornerstone Baptist Church here in Leeds. My name is Peter Morden and I'm one of the ministers here, and it's a great privilege to lead this service, the first one of 2021. And so the very first thing to say is Happy New Year to you. We do hope and pray that 2021 will be different to 2020. God has been with us through 2020, and yet we hope for a somewhat easier ride through 2021. It's going to be great to worship God together. In a moment, I'm going to hand over to Matthew and Sarah Newman, who are leading our sung worship today. But before we do that, I want to read some words from Colossians chapter 1, wonderful words that focus us on our Lord Jesus. Every time we worship, every time we come together in this way, we need to focus on Christ. But it is perhaps especially appropriate at the beginning of a new year as we reorient ourselves to focus on our wonderful Lord. So hear these words from Colossians chapter 1. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Matthew and Sarah are going to lead us now.
As we come together in each house and home, with us, we are not alone. In these days of darkness, through the longest night, we will sing together, Jesus be we
Wonderful. So good to praise our God. Let's come together in prayer. Lord, these are days of darkness indeed, but we thank you that your faithfulness to us is great. Lord, whatever season it is, whether it's summer or winter or springtime or harvest, you are the faithful God. And we praise you that you are faithful, not only in creation, but in salvation. We worship you for the Lord Jesus, who is the one through whom the world was created and the one who is our Saviour, our Rescuer. Lord, we look to you and we pray that you would be with us as we continue with this service. Speak to us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to continue with our service now. We're going to have an interview about Leeds School of Theology. Michelle Ferber is going to be interviewed by Nathan Shipley. And we're also going to see a film that Nathan has worked on with Tim Hobbs, which is really appropriate as we look back on the year that is past and we look forward to what's to come. Going to have some prayers and also a reading from God's words, and then in a little while I will be speaking on what is our text for the year, Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. So may God be with us as we continue in this service together.
Well, good morning, Michelle. It's good to see you.
Hi.
I know that you've been doing the LSOT Day School this last year, Michelle, and I was wondering if you could tell us how you found that.
Well, it's been really good. I didn't know quite what I was signing up for, but I really felt it was what I should be doing. I did ask some people their advice. I did talk with various different people about it. Okay. So the things that I really liked about it, I like that we got different interesting speakers and that they came from different churches and different backgrounds and different parts of the north of England, which was really good. I like meeting different people because the group that I was with, there were people from not just different parts of Leeds, but also the northeast and Manchester and all over the place. So I was quite grateful it was just in Leeds for me at the time. And it was nice to see their perspective and see what God was doing in their different communities as well. And so some of the things that I learned from it, okay, was that theology isn't just an academic exercise.
Okay.
But the whole idea is that it's there to influence your relationship with God and other people.
Okay.
So that's my first thing. And that the church is for everybody. And the course helped put the context behind Bible stories and things that you'd maybe heard several times before, but it just kind of like put it in perspective, not just of the Bible, but of the community and how people lived in different places throughout from Genesis to Revelation times and now as well.
Okay.
I surprised myself in that I liked learning about church history and the people that had influenced Christianity through the ages. And I was really interested in the diversity of these people and the number of where they came from in the world, and particularly the influence from North Africa. And then one more. Yeah, my biggest challenge, which I really enjoyed doing, was to read the whole of Acts in one sitting, just like you would a storybook, to get a full overview of what happened in the early church. And I really enjoyed that.
Excellent. I know that Peter will be pleased to hear that you took an interest in church history, Michelle. That's very good. And Michelle, you started your LSOT experience meeting in person at the St. George's Centre, as they've done for the last few years now, but then you transitioned to online learning. How was that for you?
Well, it was fine. It was what it needed to be at the time. Once it was online, it was better. You didn't have to get up quite so early. It wasn't the issue with the parking. But you didn't meet with other people in the same way. We did meet in breakout groups. And as well as having the Saturday morning where you were having a Zoom call where things were presented, there was the opportunity to discuss various options and various things that happened. And then about 10 days later, after you'd had time to reflect and maybe do a bit of the further study for yourself, the chance to ask questions in a can't remember what they called it, but it was a question and answer type session. And that was good as well.
Excellent. And you've decided to go on to the second year. What would you say to someone who's perhaps considering starting the day school in 2021 for the first time?
Well, I would say give it a go. Open your heart and open your mind and just see what God would say to you. Be open to it. You get it out of it what you put into it, I suppose, to some extent. And there are different ways of doing this. You don't have to sit and write long essays. There are other ways to reflect and get information and find things and what God's saying to you. But it's important not just to do it in your head, but to put these things into practice as well.
Great. Well, thanks, Michelle. We'll be praying for you and all those starting LSOT, either for the first time or the second time next year. And thanks for your time today.
Okay.
Bearing griefs, sweet trouble.
Well, what a year. Can't believe I've managed to get through it in one piece. Feels like everything that could have gone wrong did, or nearly did. There's really been some tough spots and dark times. Not sure how I made it through. Actually, how did I make it when it was darkest? I mean, clearly I did, because it's Christmas. I guess sometimes you just have to cling on. I'm glad I didn't give up. I was tempted to, though. I had some scary moments this year, but I clung on. I'm thankful I could cling on to this. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Absolute belter, that. I remember sitting on this bench crying, Lord, here's me, simply expecting you to restore my fortunes, to rescue me. And you did. All those times when I was sick of clinging on to that cry, when that expectation was wearing thin, when I didn't think I could keep going. But he kept going. I guess he kept me going. I'm glad I'm not alone. Not really. He gave me the strength to cling on that little while longer. He's given me so much to be thankful for in my life. In spite of this year I've had, he's done great things in my past. Man, I forget that so often. He really did help me cling on that little while longer. And I hope he's not done with me yet. Life's not so bad. It's so true. I suppose that's how I got through this year. Hoping and trusting in him. Who knows what the new year is going to be? I sure don't. Glad he does, though. Anyway, I know he isn't about to give up on me. He is the God who saves. I think Jesus' name means God is salvation too. That's handy. What's that psalm? The Lord has done great things for us and we are filled with joy. Didn't think I'd be feeling joy at this point. It's so true. He saved me this year, kept me going. Definitely hoping for more of the same next year. For me and for you.
Let's pray together. Father God, please help us each to reflect on the past year and to notice what you want us to notice as we do this. We commit our feelings, experiences, health, country, and loved ones to you now. Please help us each to rejoice in the ways we have known you over this year. Where there has been joy, growth, and new life. Please help us to thank you and also those who have loved us well this year. Father God, we are sorry for all the sin that comes to mind. Things said, unsaid, done, not done. We receive your precious forgiveness afresh now. Please help us each, and as a whole church family, to live for your glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today's reading is taken from Esther 4, verses 6 to 16. So Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city, in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for the annihilation which had been published in Susa, to show Esther and explain it to her, and he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and all the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they must be put to death unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days passed since I called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish."
Well, once again, a happy new year to you all. It's really, really good to be able to bring a message at the beginning of a new year. And the beginning of a year, it's usually the time for a number of different things. It's usually a time for celebration, very different this year, of course. It's a time for looking back and looking forward, a time for taking stock. And it's a time, of course, when many people make New Year's resolutions. You may well be one of them, and you can look back and think about the different resolutions that you have made, some of them sensible, some of them a bit more outlandish, some of them doable, some of them unrealistic. Just had a look at some of the resolutions that people have made over the last few years, and here are some of them. Few people, I've noticed, have made a resolution to take up extreme ironing. This is an incredibly strange thing, but it's a real thing. And if you look online, you can see pictures of people ironing items of clothing in unusual locations, up a mountain, as people are coming down on a parachute, in the middle of the road, underwater. It's an amazing thing, but it's a real thing, a New Year's resolution, which is a bit more unusual. A few other unusual New Year's resolutions. Here's one: not to go to the gym on days ending with the letter Y. Just think about that for a moment. That's an interesting New Year's resolution, probably not too difficult to keep. Here's another resolution: don't put off things so much. And that seems a sensible resolution until you realise that that was posted on Twitter by someone who has posted exactly the same resolution since 2015. So there are some strange, there are some unusual New Year's resolutions. What's your New Year's resolution this year? Sometimes people talk about losing weight. People talk about going to the gym. People talk about visiting some new locations. All sorts of resolutions which can be very helpful. But I think many people are wary of making New Year's resolutions this year, because following 2020, we recognize that actually we may make a resolution, but for reasons outside of our control, we're going to struggle to keep it. Sometimes New Year's resolutions fall because of lack of willpower. But if someone is thinking of visiting a whole load of new locations this year, then that may fall, not because of lack of willpower, but because of travel restrictions in this time of coronavirus. We recognize that we may make commitments that we're just not able to keep because of circumstances. And yeah, you may want to take up extreme ironing, but you may not be able to get to the extreme locations that you really want to, so that you can take your picture and you can post it online. One of the things that 2020 has taught us is that we are not in control. We believe as Christians that God is sovereign and that he is in control, but we are not in control. In the West, we have liked to think that we are in control of our lives. And if we have the right insurance, if we have the right financial backing, then we can make ourselves secure. But coronavirus, COVID-19, has showed us that that is not the case. And so we might well be wary about making resolutions at the beginning of this new year. Nevertheless, just for a few moments, I want to think about New Year's resolutions, and I just want to encourage us as we move into this new year as Cornerstone Baptist Church to think about a few things that we might just take in the power of the Holy Spirit to be resolutions for 2021. First of all, I want to refer to what is our text for the year across the whole church, which is Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. It's a powerful verse, and it's one that many Christians, many churches are picking up on at the beginning of this new year. Esther and Mordecai are speaking, and it's a time of real darkness for God's people, the Jewish people. Not for the first and not for the last time. Genocide is being planned against the Jews. There is darkness over the land. And Esther, the Jewish queen, is uniquely placed to do something about it, but it is incredibly risky. And Mordecai both encourages and challenges her. Let's remind ourselves of what he says in verse 14. If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. For such a time as this. What a powerful phrase that is, which challenges us as we move into the new year. Two things from this verse. First of all, we do see that God is sovereign. Mordecai reminds Esther that if she doesn't step forward, deliverance for God's people will arise from another route. God is not to blame for the bad things that happen. He is not to blame for COVID-19 and for the other ills that have struck us in 2020. And yet he is still sovereign overall. His hand is with us, restraining evil and helping us through. And so God is in control. He has been in 2020 and he will be as we move into 2021. And then there is that challenge that is given to Esther to step forward. That reminder, that suggestion, more than a suggestion, that God has called her and has placed her where she is for such a time as this. What will that mean for us as a church? Well, first of all, what does that mean for you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as part of the church scattered 9 to 5 or 8 to 6 or whatever your working hours are during the week? We're called to serve our God on the front line, whatever our front lines might be. And so as you approach 2021, as a school teacher, as a worker in retail, as someone who is getting used to remote working, whatever it may be, how is God calling you to serve in this year ahead? You may wish you were somewhere else. You may wish that the times are different. You may wish that you had a different line manager, a different group of colleagues. You may wish that you had a different job. But who knows? Perhaps God has called you to your place, this time, this role, for such a time as this. What is God doing on your front line? See what he is doing. Discern what he is saying to you by the Holy Spirit and get on board with that and engage with him at this time. And so there's something very powerful there about the church scattered, but also for us as the gathered church across our 3 sites, as we meet together online and also as we engage in physical meetings. What is God saying to us at this time? Who knows? Perhaps God is calling us for such a time as this. Yes, we would prefer it not to be coronavirus COVID-19 times. Yes, we might prefer that Brexit were not happening. We might prefer, well, a whole range of other things. But let's press into this time and this place and God's purposes for us as a church right here and right now. Disciples of Jesus, followers of our Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, what is he calling us to be and do in the year ahead? One of the things I want to remind us of as part of this message is our essential purpose and our values. It's always good to do this at the beginning of a new year and at other times as well. We have agreed together as a church that our essential purpose is summed up by us having a passion for God, a love for people, and a heart for mission. And I want to encourage us to have that as something that's written on our hearts and minds and souls, something that's burned into us, that love for God, that love for Jesus, that desire to move in the power of the Spirit and to live this out. Passion for God, love for people, and heart for mission. And we've also agreed a number of values together. I'm sure that I can remember these, and I'm sure that you can as well. But just in case I mess it up, I do have my crib sheet here, and I'm going to read them to you. It'd be really good for you and for me to make sure that we've got these front and centre of our thinking for the year ahead. What are our values? What is our DNA as Cornerstone Baptist Church? Well, first of all, we're called to follow Jesus. Secondly, we're called to be a church of word and spirit and a church engaging in mission. embracing adventure, growing community, and faithful in prayer. Six values that bind us together, all focused on our Lord Jesus Christ, and all lived out not in our own strength, but in the power of God's Spirit. Wonderful stuff, and my heart beats faster and my blood runs quicker as I think about these things. And it's wonderful to be united around these core values. Just a couple of things about these values as we come to a close. Firstly, the call to embrace adventure. I think it's something that is in Cornerstone's DNA, South Parade as it was, and again in my time here, this church has been willing to embrace adventure, try something different. May we press into that more and more in the year ahead. And that's especially true as we come out of pandemic, as we can be reasonably confident that we're going to be doing as the year progresses. What are we coming out of pandemic to be and do? Is it just to go back to how things were before? I don't believe that that should be the case. 24/7 prayer conference that I've mentioned before, we engaged in that as a ministry team last year, and one of the speakers talked about, well, we're not moving to a new normal, we're moving to a new abnormal. Something that is different, something that is fresh, something that is challenging and bracing, for which we need a daily filling of the Holy Spirit. But we don't want to go back to how things were before. We want to press into whatever God has for us now. A wise man called Roger Sutton says this: amid this crisis, we have two options. Option number one, serve, extend, and grow. Option number two, conserve, insulate, and protect. Where do we stand? Well, where do we stand indeed? And I want to encourage us as a church that embraces adventure to stand with the first set of priorities: serve and extend and grow. May we press into that in the year ahead. And the final one to emphasize is, of course, the central one, which is following Jesus. Living for him right now, following him into places of darkness and serving. And I just want to bring us back to Esther 4:14 as we think about this, for such a time as this. You may know the Charles Dickens novel, A Tale of Two Cities, and you may know these lines: it was the best of times and the worst of times. It was a season of light, it was a season of darkness. It was the spring of hope, it was the winter of despair. In these times of darkness, God's light has shone. And it has shone through people like you, disciples of Jesus, who have lived reflecting the light of God to the surrounding world, and have done so in real and practical ways. Again, I want to encourage you to follow Jesus into the darkness so that the light of Christ may shine. And it's that practical difference that I really want to leave us with. How is God calling you to make a practical difference in the year ahead? Purpose is all very good. It's vitally important. Values are crucial. Just switch the alarm on my watch off there. I think I'll just plow on. Values are crucial. How is God calling you to live out practically right where you are? And for us as a church, practical is so important. And the third level of what we want to do is just really earth our purpose and our values in a real vision that is practical and gritty and cuts ice for ordinary people. I do hope and pray that in the year ahead, we will be able to unfold a more detailed vision for the whole church and for our different sites. Doesn't need to be complicated, but it does need to be practical, and it does need to be real, and it does need to be measurable. We would have done this by now, apart from the pandemic. And yet being able to pause and reflect, perhaps in some ways, has been a helpful thing. And stuff that I've really wanted to be part of that practical vision has actually happened. We have begun, slowly but surely, to see an increase in conversions and baptism. Certainly before the pandemic struck, that was happening, and we hope to pick that up, and by God's good grace, to really press into that in the year that lies ahead. The Headingley Cafe that we've now got started, something that is community focused, that is practical, and that makes a difference. I'm hoping, I'm praying, I'm believing that there will be many practical things that God will call us to as a church in the years that lie ahead. Let's have a vision that is simple and clear and earthed in the practical, nitty-gritty, hard stuff of real life, proclaiming the coming kingdom of God, living the coming kingdom of God, making a difference in people's lives, in ministries of mercy, of compassion, of grace, and of gospel transformation. For such a time as this, I truly believe with all of my heart that this is our moment as the people of God. Maybe the worst of times, but it can also be the best of times. Maybe a time of winter, but in that time, spring can come. A time of darkness, and yet God wants to shine his light on us and reflecting that out to others. Maybe a time of great danger for the people of God, but we can be even thankful to God that he has called us as his church and as disciples for such a time as this. If God has called, he will also equip. And it's going to be really exciting to see how God will use us in the year that lies ahead. Let's just spend a moment in quiet together. And I'm just going to encourage us at the beginning of this year with a reflection, a prayer of commitment that we can say together to our God. So I just invite you to pause and to bow your head as we pray. Lord, at the beginning of this year, we thank you for one another. We thank you that you have brought us through a difficult year. And we pray that 2021 would be significantly different. Lord, above all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, for the truth of the gospel that is strong and sure, whether there is a pandemic or no pandemic. Whatever our personal circumstances, Lord, you are sovereign, you are for us, and you are with us. We thank you and we praise you. And Lord, we pray now at the beginning of this new year that you would take us and use us in the ways that you choose. Lord, Esther was a royal queen, and we are sons and daughters of the living God, children of the King. Who knows but that you have called us for such a time as this. Show us what's on your heart. Show us how you're leading us forward, and strengthen us by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. first week of the new year. As we look back, we thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness towards us. As we look forward, help us to trust you. Guide us, we pray, in the days to come. We know that you hold us safe in your hands, wherever you lead us.
So encouraged and challenged by reflecting on the text Esther 4:14 and by engaging with the different elements of our service today. I do thank God for the creativity and commitment of our Cornerstone family. If you're listening to this in real time, if you're engaging with this service on Sunday morning, the 3rd of January, then we are meeting just as this service closes on Zoom to share communion together. And I want to invite you to join with us in Zoom in the normal way with some bread and wine and share communion. It's something that's really appropriate at the beginning of a new year. But however you've engaged in this, may you know God's blessing and help today and in the year that lies ahead. If you're engaging and you're not sure about Christian things, do email us as a church. Do get in contact with us through our website, and we would be only too happy to respond to you. Going to close with a prayer. Lord, we look back on the year that's gone, and we thank you that you have been with us. And we look forward to the year ahead, and we ask once again that you would fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit, and you would send us out in the power of that same Spirit to live and to work for your praise and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.